Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. As we've gone on an aside, it's never that quick. I knew this was going to happen, but I wanted to cover this because it's been since March since I've kind of covered this material. Now, we do repeat this, and I'm going to bring this up again in a different way when we kind of start the curriculum or what I, you know, what I call the curriculum over. We're going to be going through the ratification debates. So those of you who do not have copies of the ratification debates, ask me or go online and get your copies. Now, if you need a link, or just go to the Constitution Society, constitution.org. They have those up there in HTML as well as basic text. What I have, and I guess I can post these, but they're works in progress. So what I've done is I went a long, long time ago, I copied the ratification debates off of the constitutionsociety.org, and I put them into Word documents. And over time, I started using headings and creating a navigational pane so that when I found something that was really important, it would be very easy for me to cite exactly the day it happened, who it was that was saying that. So I kind of went through and created these headers for the date, who was speaking, and so forth. And then I started creating footnotes and so forth. One of the things that I'm in the process of doing, and I, you know, I'm not doing it because it's just that much to do. I will get around to it, but there are little footnotes, you know, like these brackets with a number and then a close bracket. And it's the funny brackets that they used for this, but these are the footnotes that I think was used in the Elliott papers. And unless you actually have all that material, then you can kind of use those things. But even back in those days, it was a lot harder because there was just no way of kind of embedding these links where Word documents will allow you to do that. So if you want the copies that I have, then you're more than welcome. I can easily, you know, post those. Most people, they'll just send me an email and say, hey, could you give me what you use? Because I actually have highlighted, I've got little notes and so forth, not to change the text, but just notes to insert like martial law, common law, whatever the topic is. I just kind of create a break. So that, and then a subheading so that, you know, I know when I'm going through that, oh, okay, here we go. So it's easy for me to find, and that's how it's easy for me to go through the highlights. So I literally take, when I go through the ratification debates, I'll open up the document and I will start from the first heading, or actually the first subheading of a content information like militia or enumerated or something like that, and go through it that way. So the plan is to go through it again. It'll take 2 months just to go through that information. What I plan on doing later on in 2022 is I plan on actually giving you more insights regarding the convention, or I should say regarding the Constitutional Convention and whether they exceeded their authority. I have said this time and time again. When you hear people say that the Constitutional Convention was a runaway convention, that was the anti-federalist argument a long time ago, back when they were ratifying the Constitution. Well, needless to say, in the conventions, or I should say in the state conventions where they were ratifying the Constitution, they actually talked and discussed and debated and then voted on whether they exceeded their commission, whether the Constitutional Convention exceeded its commission or not. Guess what? Every state voted where it was being contested. In all the states where the Anti-Federalists were contesting the Constitution, every state delegates that were in the ratification debates, they all voted and rejected that argument that it was a runaway convention. So the question I have is, where is it that the John Birch Society has come off with this empirical data that it was? I mean, are they just ignoring the ratification debates? Now, I've got a bone to pick, obviously, with the John Birch Society in so many different ways, but I'm not going to do that now, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through the basics and kind of catch us up to that point. And when we hit nullification, because we kind of wrap up on that, I will give you that bone to pick I have, and then I will ask you to be the judge. I will give you the link to YouTube where the John Birch Society likes to post their propaganda, and I will let you, I will unleash you and your comment and wit to be able to tell the John Birch Society they don't buy their crap. They do not understand nullification and what nullification and how it is actually to be applied. What is the appropriate process for nullification? So, anyway, when we look at, you know, what we're doing, you know, we've kind of taken an aside from going through the issues, which it doesn't help me because I promised David Torres that I would get them done by next week, and it doesn't look like I'm being able to go through those. So I will have to end up sending him what I got so that we can start going through it with his show. That way people can start seeing and putting context to all of these things. Because one of the things I've placed context to, if you haven't seen the video, is this invasion that's on our southern border. This is not an immigration crisis. We've been invaded over the past 30 years. And as long as we allow them to continue to invade, we're probably close to over 40 million immigrants, or I should say invaders in America. When are we going to put, you know, people go, you know, they don't put two and two together. Like, why is it we have a housing crisis? Well, if you allow 40 million people to come into America and start letting the government give them basic housing, who do you think that's displacing? All of a sudden, there's this take up of inventory. There's just not enough houses. And guess what? They're creating more and more regulations and restrictions so that you can't build new homes. We see this in all of the blue states. It is getting incredibly stupid, because nobody is connecting the dots. I'm telling you, this invasion is affecting us in so many different ways. And bottom line, it sounds like the gods upstairs are very upset. Anyway, so, and I don't know what's going on upstairs. But anyway, let me get back to what I'm talking about here. When we start looking at the Constitution and we start looking at these issues, we place context to them. And so going through this Bill of Rights for the 2022 on the Rumble Show, on the Freedom Not Tyranny Show, this will help his listeners actually start placing context as we're kind of doing this now. Well, I could have done this sooner, but many of these things were just being flushed out. So I apologize that, you know, we're kind of just now getting these things done. Just had a lot on my plate. And if you want to help, by all means, let me know, and we'd be happy. As one thing I really could use, I'll just throw it out there. I'm writing articles, and I have articles written. These articles have been, I've only edited these articles myself, and I am the worst editor in the world in looking at my own material, because I see it, I hear my voice, and when I hear my voice, I'm right. I'm incapable of necessarily being able to look at my writing. I mean, it really takes a lot for me to disengage and look at it like it's somebody else's. I don't know. I know a lot of people have that same problem. So if you want to edit some of my stuff and then just send it back to me, and you can send it to my email, info@reclaimingtherepublic, or any of my emails if you have them. Just send it back with your comments and or edits and say, hey, this needs to be fixed. Or I get it. I don't want necessarily people to rewrite, but I mean, I do want things to be actually a little, you know, better. And it's the same thing with my particular website. People have come to me and said, hey, you know, your website's, you know, amateurish at best. Well, that's because I'm doing everything myself. And so if there are misspelled words, bad grammar, or what have you, I don't have time to be a full... I mean, there are people that's a full-time job. And there's people that, you know, writing's a full-time job. I'm actually working with organizations. I'm doing the show. There's a lot of things I'm doing. So I could use help if you want to contribute into those types of things. I would be deeply humbled and very grateful for anything and everything that you could contribute if you're willing to do that. Now, let me move forward. As you know, you are listening to the only show that goes through the academic evidence and the academic evidence-based solutions of where we are, where we're going, and what we have to do to get there. If I haven't said it, this show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and we are going to go through the obligatories as soon as we come back. I apologize. These monologues kind of take a long time, especially when we, you know, I start going down these rat holes. It's easy to do. Anyway, please forgive me. We'll go through the obligatories and fly right back into where we left off with the basics. So we'll be right back with the basics after this. Thank you so much. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, then the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416. Okay, so let me quickly go through the companies that I endorse. These are Patriots, by the way. Fortitude Financial Coaching. If you are ready to be disciplined and actually accept somebody to tell you and coach you on how you can get on top of your finances, contact Gary Smith. Fortitude Financial Coaching. Free Constitution classes. They're free. Just go to constitutioneducation.us. That's Keith Roeder's content. And so Keith has got an array he's developed over the years of different ways of teaching the Constitution. Check it out. Timber Nation, hardwood furniture. As a matter of fact, they'll do anything. They'll do anything custom. If you're capable of doing the design, they will be capable of giving you a bid and, you know, how they would propose to do it. And so hopefully, you know, if you are one, I did something custom. I didn't want to necessarily be nitpicking because how things are interpreted and how, you know, it's not what I expected, or you don't go down that path. What you do is if you just basically say, I wanted, you know, this basic desk, and it's kind of like a workstation, but it's more than that. It's a broadcasting desk. Then, you know, that's what I did. I created that. I gave it to them. They gave me, you know, their kind of interpretation and their costs and so forth and what it would cost me. And I go, okay, let's do it. I loved it. So anyway, you get what you put. I mean, I could have put in far more details and more instructions and so forth. And you just be careful when you go down that path. Sometimes they'll say, we can't do that. You're restricting us. You're binding us too much and doing something that we can't do. Anyway, anywho, TimberNation.com. They've got some basic stuff, or they can do custom stuff. Check them out. RadioDustCovers.com. If you're looking for anything that covers your expensive equipment, by all means, Radio Dust Cover. You know, the equipment will last a lot longer if you protect it, and that's what Radio Dust Covers are all about. And AdLocal. If you're looking for ISP infrastructure support products or professions or what have you, providers, actually in the ITIL, it's infrastructure support provider. So there you go. If you're looking for your domain support, I mean, I could easily get these guys to do it, but that would cost me money. And then I'd say, well, folks, I need money. If I can do things myself, I will. And so forgive the simplicities, forgive the, you know, the amateurishness of the page. Yeah, I know back in the framers' days, you never heard anybody, never once did anybody, you know, criticize another based on their use, vernacular, or anything like that when people wrote. I mean, it was, it was just accepted. People kind of looked at it for what it was, and they commented on the content 9 times out of 10. So when and I understand they may have had a better grasp, a better education system of English grammar and all of that. I probably could go back and go back to school and learn things I've never learned before. That's not the point here. We don't have time for that. Let's actually put us. As I tell people, when people read my book, because my book is written at a collegiate level, and people go, you know, this is kind of tough. Now, I know it's not edited. I know it can be edited and probably improved a little bit, but come on. You know, I actually did have, you know, somebody kind of other than myself kind of go through, and they said, this all makes sense. Absolutely. And, you know, we caught a lot of mistakes or little things. And bottom line, though, is it's if you put it through a grade level, you know, for the language and the application words and so forth, you'd go, wow, okay, so this is, I think it's somewhere between 13 and 14th grade. It's not a sixth grader grade level. And so people go, wow, this is kind of difficult to read. Well, that's just because you have been programmed to read at a sixth grader level and to comprehend things at a sixth grader level. Folks, it's time to start stepping up. It's time to start, you know, getting into more complex communications and so forth, more complex words. But I digress. As you know, we have a comment line, 425-270-5416. Now, as we were just kind of talking and going into politics, as I said, Aristotle basically said, politics is in everything. It's in everything. It is the art of compromise. You give a little bit, I give a little bit. And somewhere in the middle is where we find the compromise. Now, there is nothing that can be compromised regarding the Constitution. Now, whether we declare war or not, and the scale of war can be compromised, but the process of declaring war within the Constitution cannot be compromised. A power that does not exist within the Constitution cannot be compromised. What it is a violation of the Constitution. I just want you to understand, politics is not involved in the Constitution. So when people start pointing the finger to you, when you're talking Constitution, what's in the Constitution, what isn't in the Constitution, and they say, hey, look, no politics here. We don't want you talking politics. Hold on. Excuse me. How is the Constitution politics? What I'm talking about is the law of the land. I'm not talking about politics. I'm not talking about anything that's subjective or is something that has been, you know, perverted one way or the other, or it is based on, you know, a level of subjectivity. Again, politics really is subjective. It's just like ideologies are subjective. But the Constitution is not political. It is the law of the land. Now, ideologies is that other fabric that, you know, is tucked or woven into society. So what is an ideology? Well, most people kind of cover it with this concept of philosophy, and there's Freudian, and there's all these different deviations of philosophies of men. I have fundamentally broken down the ideology slash, if you want to call them philosophies of men, really is a linear scale. On one extreme side is the full liberty. Full liberty is where everyone has to choose for themselves, and they are fully responsible and accountable for their choices. If they harm others, if they violate the law, anything that, you know, impacts, causes harm, you know, removes property or anything like that, there are consequences with that. And that person who's made that choice, who's made that impact, must be held accountable. This is why in a true liberty society, every consequence is identified. Now, I'll give you a good case in point. In a society of full liberty, when, who was it, Al Sharpton and his, you know, hordes of people that went out onto the Riverside Freeway back in the early 2000s, late 1990s, I think it was early 2000s, the Taisha Miller incident and the protest, when they went out onto the freeway, the economic impact should have been felt by Al Sharpton because they violated the law. They made choices and behaved in a way that caused all sorts of impact, from property damage as well as loss of property. When I say loss of property, loss of money, or employers, you know, paying for truck drivers sitting in stop traffic because for some reason they, you know, clogged up the freeway for hours. So when you start putting things into context, Al Sharpton and his organization and everybody that participated should have been pulled, you know, put into this pool of being held accountable and should have been responsible for compensating everybody for their losses. It's the same thing when you had the Ku Klux Klan do it. It's the same thing when you have Nazis do it or what have you. In a society of full liberty, there are consequences. Now, you can do anything you want, but you may have the, you know, pay the time if you do the crime type of thing. But that is a society of full liberty. Now, when we say, well, you know what, we need to, you know, make laws and we need to regulate people and take away their ability to make those certain kinds of choices. Well, okay. So as you surrender your liberty, such as the right, you know, because I give you a case in point, your right to bear arms and you can defend yourself and you can defend your property, and you can carry weapons around and so forth. In our Constitution, that is an inalienable right. Now, we have businesses and governments and so forth that are taking that away. Now, they're saying, oh, well, you know, the police can do better. We can be protected by the police or what have you. Now, if something happens, like at a school shooting, and because the teachers don't have arms, you know, all sorts of people are killed, who's responsible for that? Well, I can tell you that the teachers didn't do their job in defending and putting down, you know, that culprit, or, you know, the business didn't put down that culprit that came in to cause harm to the person that decided to kill people, when the right to bear arms to defend oneself, or even to, defend it against harm or against tyranny, it doesn't matter. So as we, you know, look at these different things and we create these laws or regulations to say you can't carry your gun, then guess what? There are consequences to that. And what we have done is we have perverted society as we drift away from full liberty, as we move towards full subjugation. Now, that's the other end of the spectrum, and we'll get into that and the different steps as we go across. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so if you look at the scale, on the far end of whichever end you want to make it, is pure white. And pure white means that you have the full liberty to do whatever, and you bear the consequence and responsibility for whatever you do. If you do good things, then you bear the consequence, you get paid, what have you. If you've done bad, you could go to jail or get hurt, what have you. Now, as you start moving towards the other end of this scale, which is black subjugation, in other words, full enslavement, in other words, the state takes full responsibility, it doesn't mean that you can't get hurt. It doesn't mean that you're fully protected. It means that you have no power. However, it does mean that certain things will be provided for safety purposes. Now, I'm going to get into some of the details of this just so you can understand what happens as we move from liberty to enslavement. When we start surrendering our sovereignty and our powers and controls and our liberty, when we surrender those things, we end up losing something. Like when we surrender to a police force, to have a general police force and say, well, they can't constitutionally take away your right to bear arms, but they can make it so that you just, you know, can't necessarily you know, carry your arms in certain places. Constitutionally, they really can't do that. But they've created laws, and through democracy, we've gotten, within our society, like Illinois, they've created unconstitutional gun-restricted zones. Washington, D.C. was that way as well. Now, in so doing, basically they say the state will protect you, the government will protect you. Well, who's accountable if the government doesn't? Nobody. As a matter of fact, how often has the city of Chicago had to pony up for the loss of life in, you know, all of these murders that are going on in Chicago? See, when you surrender something, if you don't surrender the consequences, in other words, okay, I bear the consequences if I don't defend myself. I could die, I could get hurt. If I'm surrendering those consequences, then you have to pay. You have to compensate me for you not protecting me by taking away my gun. But they didn't do that. Nobody ever thought about that depth of surrendering our liberty and our sovereignty. So, you know, it's interesting how they'll take away our liberty, but it's also interesting because I brought this up. As we've slid and government has been able to spend our money on doing social engineering and other things, well, look, they've actually been able to use your tax dollars to remove the consequences of sin. Well, how do we mean? Well, if you smoke, then and you get cancer, well, who should pay for that? You did this to yourself. No, the hospital, the community, everybody that is involved, insurance or what have you, because technically, in a true liberty society, you could not make an insurance company pay for something that you did to yourself. You could not get anybody to pay for the harm that you caused yourself. I'll give you a good example. David Crosby, the folk rock singer of the 60s, 70s, and today he's still alive. Here's a guy that destroyed, his liver, kidneys? I forget. But he had money. He was an opulent or very, popular rock star and was able to go to the front of the line to get an organ transplant. And not sure who paid for it, who paid for all that research and everything else for organ transplants to be done, but he benefited. And so he was able to sustain his life, even though he actually, by his riotous living, his drinking, drug use, and everything else, destroyed his body. He should never have been entitled to that organ, whatever it was that he had transplanted. Sorry, that violates the laws of nature when you allow people to do what they will and be destructive to themselves, and then you remove those consequences, whether it be an unwanted pregnancy, a sexually transmitted disease. Look at the billions of dollars, probably in the trillions of dollars that have been spent on sexually transmitted diseases, stopping it, and removing those consequences. If government never spent a penny on that, how immoral do you think our society would be? So in other words, when government starts removing the consequences of sin and bad behavior, it actually aids and enables people to actually do bad things. So you can see how insidious it is as we start sliding to the right or even allowing government, or to the left, whichever direction. Remember, I said either way you want to go. But it is a polar end, sorry. It is one end to another. And so there are steps. But once you go all the way into enslavement, it is very hard to get out. The closer you get to the black, the harder it is to get out. Now, on the side of liberty, if you're in the world of liberty, you can sin, you can do whatever, and you can always do, make right. Whether that making right is paying the consequences or abandoning that behavior or what have you. It's kind of like Christianity, as I liken this to that exact same thing, because Christianity is founded on full individual liberty. No one can be saved. In other words, no one can be forced or collectively saved. You actually have to do it yourself. And so it is a full liberty concept. The gospel of Christ is a full liberty concept. So I'm hoping this all makes sense. So as we start looking at this ideology, that is the fundamental ideology in politics and in our society today. As a matter of fact, this ideology of liberty and slavery was with us with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden as we started coming out. How long did it take for mankind to invent this thing called slavery? If you understand one of the commandments that was given to Adam and Eve, they were to, you know, live by the sweat of their brow. Well, if you have somebody else sweat so that you can live, in other words, you compel somebody else to do your work for you, then how isn't that a sin? Because if we were to actually live by the sweat of our brow, we would be far more responsible. We would be, you know, our society would be a lot different if everybody tried and was driven. And, you know, let's say we all had this genetic wiring that said, no, you can't do anything for me. I've got to do things for myself. That is the way it is. Like plants. Plants have to do everything for themselves. Their whole lifespan is depicted on their struggle for survival, their struggle for water, their struggle for light, their struggle for nutrients, and so forth. Just like human life. But in plant life, they don't have cognitive abilities to get other plants to do, you know, certain things for them, right? Anyway, my point is, and I hope you start understanding, that this whole idea of government politics and ideologies is a fabric that goes throughout our society. And they are actually pulling us and throwing us around to and fro unless you understand the footings of what layer we are in when it comes to government, what layer we are in when it comes to politics and ideologies. Now, looking at our particular society, the American society, the origins came, or the, I should say, the epoch of our society may have started way back with Christ. It may have started with the, you know, the cradle of civilization and the Greek, you know, paradigm, ancient Greece. But the Western society epoch, the differentiator, truly was the Magna Carta in 1215, because this is where human beings were, for the first time, other than through the biblical times, in theology, were granted rights and privileges, but in government were granted rights and privileges in a line with the biblical liberty or the biblical rights. Okay, so the Magna Carta was the first step in actually bridging both government and the gospel, or the doctrine of, I'll just call it Christianity, Judeo-Christian, what have you. Because if you look, when we get to common law, when we start understanding common law goes all the way back to, shoot, before Noah. So when we start looking at how common law matured and developed over time into Mosaic law and into English law of common law, into the American law of common law, then we can start seeing how effective and how important that legal system is. But the fact is, folks, we've abandoned it. We're not using it because we've allowed ourselves to be subjugated to the courts with no jurisdiction and authority. We have to take those things back. It's just like taking back all of the powers that the government has taken, whether it be the court, the legislative government, the executive government, the federal or general government has been violating the Constitution in so many different directions, and this is why it's important to go through these things. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so let me get back to this Magna Carta. See, the Magna Carta created a compact between the monarchy and the people, actually. It wasn't the people. It was really, I'll call it the noblemen or the barons, the land barons, because the barons were the ones that kind of protected the people from the monarchy because they were trying to do good things. Now, the people, or I should say the minions, those, and technically they were serfs at the time because they didn't know any better. And so as education, because when was it that the Bible was printed and when was it that education really started expanding and exploding exponentially? Well, it wasn't until the printing press, which was back in the 1500s, right? Well, we've covered all of this. But in 1215, this was an epoch because this was the first time the monarch of a nation actually created a, what I'll call a symbiotic relationship between the crown or the monarchy and its people, its representative people, because the barons were kind of like our representatives. They were trying to, there were many good barons, there were some bad barons, but there many of them had noble intent, and they all tried to create a better civil society. And as they developed from that Magna Carta up until the Glorious Revolution, which was the 1860s, 1870, something like, not 18, I'm sorry, the 1660s. So it was another 400 years. That was when the Bill of Rights was created. And the Bill of Rights from the Glorious Revolution was extrapolated from the Magna Carta. And it, what they tried to do was they were trying to enumerate the rights of the people. It didn't take long for the Bill of Rights in England to fail. And what I mean by that is by the time the American Revolution came along, most people were not having their rights respected by the Glorious Bill of Rights from the Glorious Revolution. As a matter of fact, when John Adams and Thomas Jefferson actually were at the crossroads, they were both as emissaries working on the treaty with Britain from, you know, ending the revolution, or trying to end the Revolutionary War, which never happened until the War of 1812. But anyway, they were at the crossroads that actually was the catalyst that caused the Glorious Revolution. And they, at when they got to that crossroads, because they took a break from the treaty work, and, you know, just kind of went to see the countryside, and they happened upon that crossroads. So when they got to that crossroads, they were just blown away with, here they were standing at a historical point in Englishman's life, where the rights of man was reestablished from the Magna Carta. And they started lecturing all of the people. I mean, they actually, a huge crowd kind of, for the day, a crowd kind of assembled out in these middle roads, and they basically lectured them on how, you know, quickly and how easily they have given up their rights. Anyway, as we start looking at the ratification debates, I'm going to just kind of jump up a little bit. When we look at the ratification debates, there was a good and a salient argument regarding why a Bill of Rights was not needed with our Constitution. Okay, so let's get back to this revolution. So the revolution, most everybody understands that the revolution was started because of a level of tyranny. Well, you know, it was taxation, right? What was that taxation? As I understand it, when you really equate the taxation that people were paying out of their pocket, because not everybody was paying the taxes, but the people that were, it kind of related to about a tenth of a percent. Wow. Here's the people of the colonies getting so upset about taxation without representation. What they wanted was to have representation in Parliament. They believed that the laws that they were passing and putting taxation on them, you know, denied them of their fundamental rights of representation. And so they basically petitioned. They petitioned and petitioned. The right of petition that came from the Magna Carta came into the Bill of Rights from the Glorious Revolution, and actually was, what's the best way to say, integrated into the initial government of the Continental Congress before the Articles of Confederation. It was then folded into the Articles of Confederation, and then again folded into the U.S. Constitution for the states, for the United States, when they created the Bill of Rights. That's what the whole First Amendment petition is. And this is very significant. This is why we've been going through a lot of this content for you regarding petitions, getting organized, and using petitions at your county level. But anyhow, as we start, you know, kind of playing out this revolution, there were lots of things that kind of caused the revolution. One of many was the fact that Britain recognized the fact that the states were getting a little bit too out of hand. And so they were getting the West Indies Trading Company to, you know, start moving and growing, because they were already controlling and drug pushing in India and China. And so their illicit behavior and their thug-like behavior was very renowned, and the framers understood how evil the West Indies Trading Company was. And word had it that the king wanted to establish a West Indies Trading Company outlet to start managing the colonies and controlling us. Well, that didn't, you know, that didn't bode very well. That was one of the real reasons why they said, basically, you know, we really do need to revolt, because if we don't take a stand now, we may not be able to turn the next corner when they come along. So there you go. They actually started moving towards this revolution, and then they created the Declaration of Independence. Or actually, Thomas Jefferson, I try to tell people that Thomas, that Declaration of Independence was a lifelong work for Thomas Jefferson, that line that we were all created equal was written in 1770 when Thomas Jefferson defended a mulatto for their freedom. And so a lot of the lines and parts, he had actually already had these epiphanies. So when the time came for, you know, this declaration to come, it didn't take much time for him to create such an awesome document, because he was kind of, let's just say, inspired, or his life was, you know, I say the same thing with mine. I went through certain things in my life that prepared me to be able to, you know, say the things and recognize the things that we're doing today. In the same manner that I tell you that Abraham Lincoln was prepared to do what he did to this republic. There's no doubt in my mind, the divine hand of providence affects us in our daily lives. And a lot of times we have no idea why we've seen this, we had to go through this, why we went through this process with Abraham Lincoln. He failed 18 times. All of that was hardening for him to basically take a hard stand. Anyway, I digress again, but let me get back to this whole concept of this evolution in America of enlightenment. What ended up happening was we took Western society enlightenment and put it on steroids based on individual liberty and individual sovereignty. And in so doing, we created a government that allowed enlightenment to just create this burst. This burst was so bright that even today, the remnants of that burst from the individual liberty and sovereignty instilled in this nation is still shining to the world. It started dimming a long time ago, but it was still shining when Reagan said, we need to be that beacon on the hill. And that's the truth, folks. The government that was prepared and designed by the divine hand of providence, that was inspired into all of these men's lives throughout their lives to create what they ended up creating and doing historically what they have done. It has truly set the stage for the world. This is why I tell you that when we look at the Constitution, it solves not only our problems, all of our problems, it solves almost all of the world's problems when it comes to governance. Anyway, so as we look at the Revolution and then, you know, the history going into the treaty of the Revolution, we can see that the states actually started recognizing that all states weren't equal. Delaware, Georgia, Maryland, a lot of these states were, even New Jersey, a lot of these states were just subpar states. They were more dependent on the big players. Massachusetts was a big player. Virginia was the biggest. North Carolina was another big player. Pennsylvania was a big player. New York was a big player. The states that had the ports and harbors to allow the most throughput of commerce were the biggest players, which is why Massachusetts, New York, and Virginia were the key players, even Pennsylvania. Anyway, when we come back, we're going to finish all of this, but we may actually be interrupted with this conversation with Keith Borders. You will find out tomorrow if it's so or not. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show
in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobius Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.